Welcome back. We're on the second leg of today's journey on the Horseman's Corner. I'm Howard Hale, host of the program, along with my co-host Marty Martin and our guest Emily Johnson. Let's continue our conversation with Emily. Hey, you talked about natural horsemanship. Give me your definition of natural horsemanship, would you, Emily?
Yeah, Howard, that's a great question. In a way, it's a really good thing that it's become really a household term. It's become a whole sector or discipline within the industry. On the other hand, to me, sometimes it can be a little confusing what that means and can at times kind of be used as a marketing term and has lost a little bit of its meaning. To me, it's very simple. Natural horsemanship, in my mind, is let's put things in a way that's as natural to the horse as can be. Now, with that said, we're going to fail at that all day long, despite our best intentions, because the reality is it's not natural to a horse to be inside a fence, less natural to be inside a smaller space like a stall. It's not natural to them to wear fly masks and have whatever the case is. There's some things that we do and ought to do as the horse is now domesticated. So I'm not a big proponent of taking it to the extreme. Let's name it for what it is. But natural horsemanship to me is understanding how the horse thinks, who are they. They perceive the world as prey animals do, whereas we come from the predatory standpoint. Neither one is right or wrong, better or worse. They're simply different. And there's value in understanding that they're different, that the horses have different needs from a social group and within the social hierarchy than we do, also some similar ones. So how can we both perceive the world in a way that they perceive it, and then communicate, utilizing their language in a way that makes sense to them, to acquire the results we want. In short, to me, the result we want is partnership. It's as good for the horse as it is for us, not unlike the relationships they build out in their own herd units.
Has this been a positive, a really good learning experience for you, moving from Colorado to eastern Nebraska?
It has. I would not say it's been at all times fluid or flawless experience, as large life transitions aren't always. But it has been very positive. There's been lots of opportunities for learning, for development, both personally, again, as any big life transition brings. One of the opportunities it has provided me, I've had an interest and involvement in the Western dressage world for some time, for about 6 or 7 years now, back to when I did an apprenticeship out in California with a fellow named Eitan Beth Halakmi. His business is Cowboy Dressage, and he's one of the founders of this new Western Dressage Association of America. But back home, I stayed awful busy teaching, training, running programs there. It didn't always allow me the time, and most horse professionals can understand this, with time with my own horses. What a concept to climb aboard my own horses at times. So being out here has given me that opportunity and has let me get involved with the Omaha, really Omaha and Lincoln, the Nebraska Dressage Association. And it's been a great experience. I've had a lot of fun being in the show ring with my own horses and, riding to kind of to the beat of our own drum and focusing there. So that's something I'm all kinds of excited about, as well as this great facility that I'm working out of with huge heated indoor arena. You can't ever go wrong with that.
Marty, what would you like to talk to Emily about that we haven't covered up to this point?
Now, that heated indoor arena, that's something that you're leasing?
Right, yes. I don't own the property, but I lease a separate barn and paddock and some space out of there. Correct. When we can get these storms coming in, there are ample days where wind chill is not a pretty digit, so having the ability to, everything I said about riding out, covering country, doing the obstacles, by all means, but some days when it's single digits or below, I'm not out on the obstacle course on those days. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. That's one of the best things of an indoor arena is when the wind's blowing, you can get out of that wind. Doesn't even have to be cold out. You can get out of the wind. Not that riding in the wind is not good for the horse. It sure is, but it's not so pleasant for the rider.
Yeah, and you got it.
The rider can't be as effective in terms of being a good leader to his horse if his hands are freezing and shaking. And so are his feet and legs.
Yep, you got it. That's a great point.
Talk about what age you like to have that horse before you start exposing him to some of those obstacles like you're talking about out on your extreme obstacle course.
I would say almost at any age, horses could be exposed to certainly the groundwork, certainly the relationship building, and the use of obstacles to accomplish those things. What would have to be changed is the presentation of the obstacle, meaning on a real youngster, even like a weanling or yearling, I'm not going to ask for the same degree of specificity that an older, more mature horse might be able to accomplish. So the presentation of the obstacle, what is asked, the length of time being worked, or really, you know, it should always feel more like play to a horse, but being engaged with. And then obviously the difficulty or challenge of the obstacle. But to me, a horse at any age, I mean, just about any age, can't, obviously, if they're still nursing, they, you have to have the dam present or something to that extent to work and handle with a horse. But at any age can benefit from learning how to think, how to connect their mind through their emotions down to their feet. Oftentimes, horses, an uneducated horse, the feet do one thing, but the mind and emotions aren't there, or if they are there, they're not in a real positive way, you know, kind of mentally frazzled and emotionally worried. And then, by golly, what those feet are doing isn't always exactly what we wanted or maybe what we're comfortable with. So I think it's invaluable for a horse, really, at any age, to begin to learn how to connect their mind, emotions, down to their feet in a way that relates to our presentation and what we're asking. Just walk through the obstacles, do some groundwork, present to them some of the simpler ones, not necessarily with the goal being that they need to execute the whole obstacle, but seeing if they can develop a mental willingness to go offer a try. Can they walk up to it and put their nose on it? Well, heck, I've seen a lot of older broke horses that you can't get them to walk up to an obstacle and put their nose on it. That would be a great start towards building a useful future for that horse.
Does getting used to all those different obstacles keep a horse from getting dull?
I do believe that to be true. Some horse analogies can do better with repetitive work than others, but ultimately, just about any horse or even human, we have our limits to the same old day after day. So cross-training, which is kind of another way to describe doing some different things, whether that be different styles of riding, different exercises, different locations of riding, can be a really good way to just offer the horse some relief from the day-to-day. It can also be a nice way to challenge ourselves, and again, to me, a good horseman or horsewoman is going to be competent communicating with our horse in a variety of terrains and a variety of environments. Personally, I place a lot of value in that, developing ourselves as fully as we're aiming to develop our horses.
Yeah, because sometimes you'll see horses that have been worked in a round pen and flagged, for example, to the point to where they're tuned out and sometimes actually aggravated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they sure are. So it's a little bit of a science of knowing when to, how much to present to a horse and when to quit. And it's also a little bit of an art form, meaning you have to have the awareness and the feel of what the horse is offering back, what they're saying. And it doesn't help to have had some experience to be able to discern the information you're getting or to be working with someone who can help discern that. By all means, the goal is to have that kind of that balance between enough desensitized or able to ignore the things we want them to ignore. We don't want horses bolting off to plastic bags, to the side of the tractor, they need to be desensitized to the saddle. You know, we've seen a non-desensitized 2-, 3-, or 4-year-old to the saddle, and that's not what we want on a daily basis. But while maintaining healthy sensitization or respect for what we're asking. So that could be the feel or pull on the halter rope. That could be, you know, our leg aids. That could be the use of a flag when I'm lifting the flag and wanting the horse to move off. So it is really important to have enough knowledge and education ourselves as the human rider or handler to know where that balance is, not creating hypersensitive horses that are prone to be reactive and worried about things, but know a horse that's become so quote-unquote gentled that they're really just dull and pretty hard to get to do much.
How can folks contact you?
I have a website up that I'd be more than happy for people to go visit. My business is Mountain Rose Horsemanship. Mountain, like what we used to have in Colorado. Rose, the flower, horsemanship. So the website is mountainrosehorsemanship.com. And again, I'm Emily Johnson, but the business is Mountain Rose.
Hey, thanks a lot for taking the time to visit with us. We've run out of time. Thanks to you, Marty, for being the co-host, and Emily for being along with us. And gosh, I hope things continue to go well for you in Omaha. And you folks stay tuned. We're going to have more for you in a moment. You're listening to the Horseman's Corner.